Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Before a city lawsuit accused her of running a massive illegal rooming house operation, the residents of Virginia Avenue in Tower Grove East knew all about Dara Doherty. Doherty was an influential figure on their block. She was a landlord with dozens of buildings and tenants, but in early 2024, a landmark lawsuit filed by the city of St. Louis presented some shocking allegations. Her 39 properties? Condemned. Her tenants? Vulnerable people, many homeless, whom Doherty had recruited in shelters and soup kitchens. The lawsuit alleged that her tenants lived in inhumane conditions while money flowed into her pockets. The city's lawsuit against Dara Doherty is ongoing, but earlier this month, at a court hearing, she introduced a new complication. She's filing for bankruptcy. To talk about this case, we're joined by one of the reporters who's been covering it from the beginning, St. Louis Magazine reporter Ryan Krull. Ryan, welcome back.
Hi, Elaine. Glad to be here.
We also have someone who saw something wrong years before it became a news story, Tower Grove East resident and Doherty property neighbor Brittany Markert. She watched the situation develop on her block. Brittany, welcome to you.
Thank you, Lane.
So, Brittany, you moved into the Tower Grove East area about 5 years ago. When was it that you realized that something was off with your neighbors?
Sure. So, as we toured the home as prospective buyers, the backyard of the neighboring property initially raised some questions. We assumed there was some sort of story there. And shortly after moving in, several of our neighbors came to offer tidbits of information and some backstory regarding really an ongoing struggle they had already endured.
Mm-hmm. Why did that not deter you?
We loved the house, the neighborhood, and it was just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't seem like a real problem at the time.
Yeah. Ryan, I mentioned that there have been some recent developments in the lawsuit against mm-hmm. Doherty, you know, in the introduction. Let's go over some of those basics, though. Doherty is accused of operating basically as a slumlord. And you've also described allegations from the city of St. Louis that she treated her tenants as indentured servants in a system of, quote, modern-day slavery. So break that down for us. You know, the city wants the court to declare Doherty's properties as nuisances, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the idea would be that either she would abate those nuisances, fix them up, or she would put them in the hands of someone who would sell them or put them in a receivership. But to your point about the sort of origins of the lawsuit and some of the allegations within it, yeah, so the original lawsuit filed by the city against Dara was filed in January of 2024, and it basically accused her of operating 39 properties in like virtually every neighborhood of South City that were similar to the properties that Brittany experienced in Tower Grove East, and these were houses that were all condemned for occupancy. There shouldn't have been anyone in them. But yet she was renting out rooms to them for people, charging like $500 a month, $300 a month for people to live there, despite the fact that they were condemned for occupancy. And then the indentured servitude part, that has to do with the fact that whenever maybe a tenant couldn't pay their rent, she would have to evict them. So she would use tenants who lived elsewhere in one of her properties to kind of be like the enforcers to kick those people out. And if they didn't do what she said the allegation went, they would be put out on the street as well. Mm-hmm. And then she also used them for sort of more mundane things like cutting the grass and groundskeeping and that sort of day-to-day maintenance.
Mm. Brittany, you're nodding. I mean, what is it that you were seeing, you know,
sure,
the conditions that your neighbors were living in or amid?
Yeah, my neighbors would be picked up at all hours of the day and night. She would never enter the properties. She would just pull up, honk her horn, yell at them to come out, and they would go off to, you know, clear out a home that she had possibly wrongfully evicted folks. Like, she would just lock them out of housing, mm-hmm. and then remove all of their things, and then all of the furniture would just be sprinkled into our alley as the month progressed. Mm-hmm. So it was just a constant flow of furniture and belongings that she would just take from her tenants. Mm-hmm. And I also remember my neighbors yelling at someone who was just sleeping on their screened-in front porch that if he didn't pay, Dara told them that they had to ask him to go.
Mm-hmm. Both of you were in court earlier this month, and the latest development in this case is that Doherty has filed for bankruptcy. Was this a surprise to you, Ryan?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised, and I think virtually in the city, what I believe was too. I don't think they knew about this ahead of time, and essentially, I guess how this came to be is maybe worth talking about just a little bit, because it's an interesting story, but it also kind of sheds a light on the broader operation she was running. So several years ago, one of her quote-unquote tenants, who was, you know, paying her $500 a month to live in a condemned property, was this guy named James Cole. And I think this really sort of shows what sort of places that she was renting out, was that this guy Cole, he was stabbed by another tenant who was using a homemade spear. So he was severely wounded, and then he filed a lawsuit against both Dara and the LLC that she was using to rent out the house. And ultimately, Dara was hit with a $1.8 million judgment, and she herself is sort of liable for that in addition to her LLC. So that's why she filed for bankruptcy, to saying that she doesn't have $1.8 million. But I guess even kind of more saliently, that bankruptcy puts that civil lawsuit on hold. So James Cole isn't going to be able to collect that money. Perhaps ever, but definitely at least not until that bankruptcy matter is resolved, which could take quite some time.
And the stabbing that James Cole experienced, he was like partially disemboweled, right?
Yeah, it was very severe.
Yeah. What was the mood like in the courtroom, Brittany? And did you see other neighbors there who have been following this case?
A lot of them have fallen off. We all came in to testify against her. For the preliminary injunction that just dealt with the property neighboring my own. But I would love to say that I was surprised, but after finding out that she sold the house next to mine the day before our court date, nothing really surprises me with her anymore.
Did you see her there?
She was not at the court date that we were just at recently.
Yeah, no, she's mostly only shown up to ones where I think she's been explicitly ordered to be there. Yeah, okay. Otherwise, it's just her attorney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the LLC. It's not just one, right?
Yeah, I don't. Right. Brittany might know better than I, but it's not just a few either. She and her associates have at least dozens of LLCs that.
Correct.
From the reporting perspective, what's interesting there is it makes it hard to kind of know what all she owns, because you'd have to. It's hard to. If you have to kind of connect her to the LLC and then the LLC to the property, and if you're missing any one of those three parts, it's kind of hard to know exactly what is hers and what isn't.
And the number 39 is one that has come up as the number of buildings. Is that an accurate number of how many properties are involved and, you know, how many were condemned?
Yeah, so those 39 were identified by the city just in this one specific lawsuit. But she definitely has others, because, like, I know for a fact there was a property on Cherokee Street that I think it was the Gravoy Park Neighborhood Association was trying to take some kind of action against, others in Marineville. So the 39 is just the at issue in one lawsuit. And yes, those were all condemned, but there's inarguably other houses throughout South City and probably a little bit in the county even, too, that she owns.
And additional lawsuits as well.
Of course.
We'll pick up this conversation after a short break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Para Corporation, a general contractor seeking professionals who want to make a difference in the community. More at parac.com/careers.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. The city of St. Louis's lawsuit against an alleged slumlord has revealed a great deal about how vulnerable people can be exploited for profit. We're talking about that with St. Louis Magazine reporter Ryan Krull, who has spent more than a year covering the case of accused slumlord Dara Doherty. Also with us is Brittany Markart. Brittany is just one of the neighbors whose complaints led the city in January last year to file a landmark lawsuit against Dara Doherty. Now, Brittany, I understand that you were involved in building the city's case against Doherty, in addition to your having been in court just last week. Sure. What was it like to be involved with that initial case?
So I think that it felt like my attempts to get help for my neighbors were finally coming to fruition. I had someone in a position of power that was listening to all of the atrocities we witnessed, and it seemed as though there was a light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, just when I was losing hope that we wouldn't get help for my neighbors, it seemed like something was starting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about what kinds of complaints or concerns you lodged with, you know, the city or with other agencies?
Sure. The health department, the building inspectors, I was frequently calling all of them. But in my thoughts, recently, because of this lovely heat wave we're enduring, my efforts really ramped up when we were in the midst of a similar heat wave, and I knew my neighbors had no air conditioning. So I called in a wellness check because I was concerned for their safety. And I also called in a elderly and disabled abuse allegation because I was concerned, again, for their welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, one of my neighbors was carried out in a body bag because he lived in the second floor without air conditioning, and he died. The very next day, Dara's ex-husband came and put in a window unit into the home to possibly evade any allegations of wrongdoing, and simultaneously blamed the tenant for his own death. And I immediately called back with the person handling the case that was subsequently closed because he had no next of kin to take up the fight.
That is quite... So, Brittany, you and your neighbors, you faced Doherty in court.
Mm-hmm.
You testified about what you witnessed. What was the message that you wanted to deliver?
So, as we've spoken, it's a very tangled web of lives that have been impacted. And if anything could come of this, I really just wish there was a fund for all of her victims, because I believe they deserve adequate housing and compensation for the harms at her hands.
What was it that you were not trying to do? As far as it,
of course,
you know, it
yeah.
concerns the tenants themselves.
Exactly. So I was trying to do whatever I could with the health department and the building inspectors to make sure we found housing for our neighbors before they were pushed out of the house. And I had social workers come to the door after numerous attempts and phone calls, and my neighbors wouldn't speak with them because Dara told them that they could be arrested if they let anyone in or spoke with anyone. Mm-hmm. So they were afraid of the help, ultimately.
Ryan, you have had the opportunity to talk with a number of different people in your reporting. What is it that you know about the former tenants? You know, they were mistreated. They paid a lot of money to live in these horrible conditions. Is there any justice for them?
It's hard to say. I mean, I guess it's possible they could get some sort of monetary damages awarded to them, but that's probably pretty doubtful. I think the best thing that could be happen to them is, you know, I think for the most part, these are folks who are dealing with substance abuse issues, mental health issues, one and or both of those things. So if they could really just kind of get into housing where they could get support for the underlying conditions that probably played a big part in them winding up in one of Daugherty's properties to begin with, I think that would probably be ideal for them. And then, yeah, if the properties themselves could get a more sort of responsible owner who could, you know, make these places more, you know, fit for someone to live in, I think that would be a win for everyone mm-hmm. as well. And that seems to be the city's ultimate goal with this lawsuit for at least several dozen of the properties.
Yeah. Do you know what is next with the city's lawsuit? And
yeah, it's hard to say. So an attorney who's working on it told me that the bankruptcy is probably going to put a bit of a pause on it, but not a firm stop. It'll get going. There's actually another hearing in September. And like with the house that Brittany lives next to, a judge actually ordered Dara to sell it. And it looks like she sold it to someone who she knows. It was sort of like a straw buyer. And then it was sold again to someone else who seems to also sort of be someone who Dara knows. So at least with that one, there has been an order to sell. And it could be a case where in some of these other ones, she'll kind of maybe one by one, her portfolio of properties will sort of get chipped away at. But obviously, given the fact that she sort of sold this to someone who was an associate of hers, it seems like she's not a sort of operating in good faith as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. Brittany, have you been able to keep up at all with what has happened with your neighbors?
Sure. The majority of them have just been shuffled to another one of her properties that hasn't been shut down by the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I occasionally see one of my neighbors pushing his cart full of scrap metal throughout the neighborhood. All of our neighbors set out recycling for him to just try and help. But occasionally I'll see him out and about and just ask how they are and if they need anything. And occasionally I'll run by with groceries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's one of the saddest parts about this. Our neighbors were really, still are, amazing people. They would give you absolutely anything and do anything to help out. And I made that known when I didn't want them removed from our neighborhood because they're an integral part of our neighborhood. They're part of the fabric. And it's hard for us to keep an eye on each other when they're removed.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what Brittany's telling us, it sounds like Dara Daugherty is still running at least one of these rooming houses. How can that be? And, you know, how can it be?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's probably to the extent of it's difficult to explain for sure. But I think the answer to that big question is just this idea that she owns so many, and the city's, you know, the neighborhood stabilization officers, the health department, they're strapped for resources, so they can sort of, you know, concentrate their fire, so to speak, on one property, maybe get all of her tenants out of there. But she has dozens of others that she can move them over to, and it just kind of becomes a game of whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got a big portfolio of property.
Yeah. Ryan Krall is a reporter from St. Louis Magazine, and Brittany Marquardt is a Tower Grove East resident who testified in the city of St. Louis's case against alleged slumlord Dara Daugherty. Brittany and Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wissentowski. audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.